Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and we have a fun show today. Joining me right off the bat, somebody I hadn't spoken to in quite some time, my very good friend who I met through here and through another mutual friend. We've been friends ever since, appearing on season 6 of The Voice. Made it all the way to the live rounds, and just sorry to hear that. She fell a little short because I was voting for her, and root for all my friends to vote for it too, all my Voice fans, and welcome to back to Garage Talk Live, the one and only Audra McLaughlin.
Hi,
Aud, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so happy to be back. It's been so long.
Well, you have an open invitation, and I got to go through all these proper channels, you know.
No, you can message me anytime. You know that. We're friends now, so yeah, I'm excited to be back on. It's been a while since we've chatted. It's crazy. It's been, I guess I met you about, what has it been, about 4 years now, right?
Yeah, it would have to be, because figure you were season 6, and somehow they're on
right?
like 14 going on 15. They're like, they run 2 seasons a year, which
crazy.
Is kind of weird. But,
they do like two seasons a year. It's crazy.
It kind of makes it kind of seem like it was so long ago when it wasn't really. So, but
I
lots
know
been happening.
It's crazy. But yeah, things have been crazy.
And you're getting ready to make the move to Nashville, and then you wound up with some health problems and had to have some surgery, and now you're on the mend. I think you were the Eagles' good luck charm until that happened, though, because every time you sang, they won, and, you know, you were the Kate Smith of the Eagles.
Oh, thank you so much. That is such a huge compliment. I loved, oh, my gosh, her voice. So amazing. That's such an honor. I appreciate that, Vince. Yeah, it's been a crazy year. I mean, it was like the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I mean, I grew up watching the Eagles with my father. You know, I've always been a huge Philadelphia sports, just all sports team in general, big fan, but especially football. I just grew up loving football. And you know, for the past, I guess it's been for the past 4 or 5 years now, I've been singing the national anthem for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it was always kind of one of those, like a dream of mine since I was a kid. I used to actually try out for the Eagles to be able to sing for them. And I was, you know, younger and stuff then. And but yeah, I was super excited when I finally got the opportunity to actually sing for them. And yeah, it's been like a crazy year. Like I said, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and then I had sang the national anthem for them one time this past year, and then I had ran into some vocal issues for a little while. I had to undergo vocal surgery back in November, and that was tough. You know, it's but I'm starting, my voice is back, you know, which is such a wonderful thing. I was so nervous for a while about that. But yeah, it's been crazy. It took me about 7 months to really get my voice back. You know, I've been going to extensive amounts of speech therapy and voice therapy every week, and just doing a lot of therapy at home, and just to really try and get my voice back. You know, it's been a long, long, long time coming, and I'm super excited that it's back, and I'm able to get back to work and get back down to Nashville full time and start working on some fun projects. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I've been watching all your videos of you posting your progress, and it's just like amazing.
Thank you. Having a dog
like this and going wee, or I'm not going to even try to match your notes. Especially this early in the morning.
But. Yeah, I mean, it was a long time. I mean, because, you know, I went from performing so much and traveling, and you know, I was doing a lot of like NASCAR shows and acoustic performances and private events, and you know, it was like constant. I was, you know, like I said, I was on the road a lot traveling, and I was back and forth to Nashville in the studio working on, you know, new music. And you know, I've always been very involved in, you know, anti-bullying organizations and events. And I kind of had to put everything on pause for like the past, you know, several months, besides, you know, songwriting and that type of thing. But even that was really tough for the first few months without having a voice, because the way I've always went about writing a song is just like I get random like melodies in my head. Like I could be anywhere. I could be, you know, out with my friends, and I'll be like, hey, I'll be right back. You know, I have a melody in my head, you know, or I don't even say what, you know, I just say, I'll be right back. And I have to like go outside and like, you know, record whatever the melody is on my memo. And that's kind of how I've always written songs, is through melody and through singing. And without my voice for so long, it was like so tough to kind of get out, you know, that type of thing. But you know, I just was like journaling and kind of writing down my thoughts and just ideas and things to kind of have, so when I was able to start making sense of what I was trying to say in the lyrics. So yeah, it's been quite a struggle, but you know, I can't complain, you know, because things, I always say things can be worse. And I was very thankful that my voice came back, and you know, I'm able to finally get back to what I've, you know, singing is my whole life, you know, it's basically what I've been doing my entire life. So to lose it for a little while, you kind of get to a point where you appreciate it so much more than you did before, you know. So it's been a long time coming, but hey, things are getting back into gear. I have a new single coming out, called We Ain't Missing Nothing. Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. We got a lot of cool things coming with that. We're going to be working on a new music video, and we're going to start doing a lot of radio tours and get it to radio and all that stuff. So yeah, so I'm excited to get back to work. It's been a long time.
That's for sure. You want to give your surgeon a plug, because whoever it was did a hell of a job, because, I mean, yeah, you had to go through the therapy and the coaching and all that, but that's the important part, getting it all fixed.
Yeah, oh gosh, I have a wonderful surgeon. His name is Dr. Sadaloff, actually, and he's a world-renowned specialist, ENT specialist, and he's worked on probably every singer you can even imagine. He has tons and tons of... I call it the wall of fame at his office. And then he's truthfully, I can't name names, but I've seen a lot of famous people come in and out of his office. And I was a bit starstruck at the time, not being able to speak. I'm like trying to freak out in my head, like seeing these famous people in and out of his office in Philadelphia of all places, you know, even a few country artists I've seen. And, but I don't want to put anybody on, you know, blast. So I'm not going to name names, but you know, what I realized even seeing those people was that I realized so many singers have had this surgery, and I'm like, I started sort of feeling better because, you know, when I seen, you know, Adele and like Sam Smith and so many of my favorite artists, even Keith Urban, you know, undergo vocal surgery, I was like, wow, you know, their voices are, I mean, they've always been amazing, but they're so much stronger now, you know, Meghan Trainor. So I just noticed so many of my favorite singers who went through this traumatic experience and come out of it even stronger. So that's kind of like what my hope was all along, was just watching them have to undergo that tough time. And it's definitely pretty traumatic. I mean, cause you never know if you're going to get your voice back and if you're going to be able to continue on with your career. And it was a pretty dark time for me. I'm not going to lie, but, you know, I was able to get through it. And, you know, a lot of us, we have to go through dark times in life. You know, everybody has rough times, and that's kind of just part of, you know, just any type of person. You know, you go through tough times, and to kind of get back out of it, you know, stronger, you know. So it's things are coming along.
That's awesome. I think I remembered when you posted about undergoing that, I commented that even Ian Gillan of Deep Purple had nodules on his vocal cords that he had to remove. And this was back in like late 70s, early 80s. So that kind of, surgery then isn't as good as it is now. So, I mean,
absolutely.
He returned to form. And if you ever saw him, I don't know if you're a big Deep Purple fan. I know you're a Zeppelin fan, but
I
go back
am.
And listen to some Child in Time or something.
Yeah, I love all music, really. I mean, I grew up, you know, my parents are very into, like, I mean, classic rock, you know, a lot of the 60s, 70s, that's kind of the generation they grew up with, you know, the Rolling Stones, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, The Doors, you know, I mean, I could go on a journey, you know, a lot of the 80s music too. I mean, I love all of that. I even go back to the 50s, you know, to Motown and, you know, a lot of soul and R&B. My uncles, you know, they grew up in that generation. So I had a lot of like influence with my uncles being singers, with my grandfather being a singer, with him performing Frank Sinatra and that type of genre, you know. So I was very lucky to come from a very musical family who, at a very young age, got me involved in so many different types of music. And I just fell in love with every genre and every type of music, and then country music. My aunts were my grandmother, huge Patsy Cline, Loretta Lynn, Elvis Presley. I mean, I could go on and on, but it's just, I was very lucky to grow up around a lot of music growing up. So I'm very blessed in that aspect of, you know, being able to, people are very surprised when they're like, oh, you probably don't know who this is. And I'm like, no, I actually do. I love that person. I'm an old soul. I always say that, you know, I just, even the way I dress, you know, I just love older music and you know, new music. I love it all. So I never discriminate against music. It's all beautiful.
It is, except for techno pop. That is crap.
Well, there is, I'm not going to lie, you know, there is some crappy music out there. I never like to really bash, you know, particular people. You know, I'm not one to really call out anybody, I guess you could say, but I can say there is some crappy music that you're like, wow, how did that even get on the radio? But hey, somewhere out there, there's a fan base, you know, and that's really what it is, you know, it always comes down to people loving your music, and that's how, you know, things kind of stick for generations, is, you know, the fans. So it's the people that, you know, that's what it's all about.
Well, I see, I don't bash the people who perform it. I'm good for them, you know, it's the American dream.
Yeah. Right.
But you're right. Some of the stuff that comes, how did that ever make it?
Yeah, you know, I understand. I mean, like you said, you know, it's not like you judge people who actually are performing it or whatnot, but, you know, and like, everybody has their own taste of music, you know, what somebody might like, maybe it's not that you don't like it, maybe it's just not something that you would regularly, you know, listen to, per se. You know, like I went through all kinds of phases. You know, I had the high school phase where I listened to a lot of, like, you know, punk and, like, you know, emo and, like, you know, a lot of, you know, rock and alternative rock. And I still love it all to this day, trust me. And, you know, I went through the whole, you know, I would wear, like, my nails all black and my hair dark. And but, hey, you know, I still love all of it. You know, we all go through phases of music, but it all still stands the test of time, a lot of it, you know. So I'm just a music guru.
Well, you know, that's how it helps inspire you to come. You figure you listen to all this, and then something hits you, and like you said, you used to go out and get a melody in your head, go out and record it. I mean, before smartphones these days, you couldn't do that, you know. So
no,
it's amazing that
you had to. Yeah, it's a different time. I mean, I love watching, like, the documentaries of, like, you know, like, Steven Tyler and like, just, like, a lot of, like, even, like, Nick and all them guys talk about how, you know, we didn't have any of these phones back in the day. And, you know, if we had a melody, like, we had to remember it, like, on the spot and, like, get a tape recorder or something like that to like, record it, or it was lost, you know. Now it's, like, you carry everything with you because you always have your phones. And, I mean, I'm sure, too, they have the tape recorders maybe that they carried around, but they were a lot bigger, you know what I mean, the tape recorders and stuff. So I think now with the phones being so small, you know, it's so accessible where it's, like, right there in your hand. But, yeah, the times have changed, but, I mean, I'm just so amazed just looking back at, like, how they wrote songs. And now we kind of have a little bit more easy. We have, you know, all the rhyming dictionaries on our phones, and everything's just so accessible to us, like, right there in our hands, where, you know, that a lot of the lyrics you hear, that's something that, you know, maybe they wrote out of a book or, you know, just came out of their head, you know what I mean? So it's just amazing to see how different things were.
That's for sure. Well, any song you want to give a shout out to? Because I can't wait for it this way.
Oh, absolutely.
When you do post it, I'll share. I'll play it on the show to lead off the show.
Great. Thank you, Vince. It's so sweet of you. Yes, it's actually called We Ain't Missing Nothing, and it's been out on Spotify for a little bit. But we promote one song, you know, one single at a time, you know, to go to radio and all that stuff. So it's on Spotify. You can save it to your playlist. That would be wonderful. And follow me on Spotify, and you can buy it on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Music, basically really anywhere you stream and download music these days. That's where you can find the new song. It is out now. So we're just still in the process of servicing it to radio right now and getting all that stuff together. But yeah, it's super exciting. I'm just very excited to get back to, you know, performing out live and, you know, getting back into the studio and back into my creative sense and all that type sort of stuff. So, so I hope you enjoy it. It's save it to your, I don't know, do you have Spotify, or I'm not sure what you use?
Actually, not yet, but I think I'm going to have to now. send me a link in the message and PM me the link, and then
I'll
get it and I'll download it and I'll pop it on. And do you still have my cell number?
Yeah, I do. Because
I tried texting you, and then I tried texting you one time,
me?
And then you commented on your Facebook that you don't return texts.
Oh, wait, I'm trying to think. I might have, you know what, I might have had a, got a new phone. Oh, no, I think what I was saying is, I'm trying to remember when I even posted that. No, I normally always get back to my text messages. Sometimes, like, when I was really, you know, in the midst of being super busy, there's times where, like, I didn't really, you know, have my phone as much or whatever, or I was on, you know, doing a lot of social media stuff. Like, I would not see texts until, like, 2 or 3 days later, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I feel so bad I didn't answer that person. But no, I normally always get back to a person. Sometimes it might take a few days, depending what's going on. I don't mean to do that. It's just, I sometimes just miss things, you know, in my phone, and then I'm like, oh crap, I didn't even see that.
Wow.
But don't worry, I'll be sure to absolutely send it to you for sure.
All right. Well, let's put it this way. If you have T-Mobile, I knew people that didn't get their text for a couple of days with them. So, and that was normal. You know, that wasn't even being that busy. So,
T-Mobile, yeah.
It might have improved since then. I stick with Verizon. It costs me a little more.
Oh, I hear you.
I know what I'm getting.
Yeah, well, as long as you're, you know, I have AT&T, and I don't mind it. I like it. You know, I just sometimes... My phone service certain places kind of stinks, but it's not too bad. It's pretty good service. I just, you know, like with texting and stuff now, you know, it's like kind of like emailing. You know, you get emails and then texts, and I normally answer people, you know, right away. But you know, sometimes when you're in the midst of writing or you're in an interview or you're, you know, on the road or you're performing, you know, you don't really get to them until maybe at nighttime or a few days later if you're tired or whatnot. but I always get back to people eventually. So
I understand you're busy. Listen, I'll tell you, man. Wow, I think I better let you go. You got to be somewhere in a bit. Man, that went fast. We'll have to do this. We'll have to do part two soon.
Oh, we will for sure. Absolutely. I know. We got to catch up more. That's for sure.
If you're on your travels by road and you're in my area, be glad to stop in. My wife and I will have you. We'll have a little cookout.
Absolutely. You're in, where are you at again? I'm trying to remember.
I'm in this little rinky-dinky town called Bastion, Virginia. It's about 90 miles north of Bristol, Tennessee, where I know you've been.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right. Yes. So you're pretty, well, you're about, what, 12, 13 hours from, well, I don't know. Actually, I'm sorry, from Tennessee, you'll be only about, like, probably 5 or 6 hours, I believe, from Nashville. Right? I don't know if you've ever been to Nashville.
We'll have to measure the distance.
Yeah, because normally when we would go to Bristol, halfway, you know, from Pennsylvania I'm trying to remember. It was like, hey, I know, like, it was somewhat, did you say you're in Virginia or Tennessee?
Yes, Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
If you look at the map of Virginia, Virginia is like a big hump thing, and then it comes down to a little pointy tail, or I'm in the neck of that before the little pointy tail.
Oh, okay, right. So you said you're close, but you're close to Bristol, though. Okay, so that's where I got it mixed up. Gotcha. Man, I'm the worst with directions, I tell you. If it wasn't for GPS, I'd be... I don't even know where I'd be.
I think that's because of GPS.
yeah, you're probably right. My dad used to, a couple of years back, used to work for PICO, and he said he used to have to use the maps, you know, to find the houses and stuff. And he said he got lost all the time, but, you know, he got to know the area where he read the meters a lot. So he finally, you know, that's really what it's about. Like, you know, it's kind of learning without GPS, you know, and I am horrible at directions. I am not afraid to admit it. I just put the GPS on and I go. I'll drive anywhere. I really will. But as long as I got a GPS, I get afraid if it just shuts off though. And I'm like, oh no, where am I? I think eventually you got to figure it out, you know? I'm like, okay, I think I'm on the right track. So, but it's all good, you know. So.
Well,
but
if you ever want directions.
We'll talk soon. Yeah, you could show me directions for sure. You could be my guide, my map.
There you go. I'll be your bodyguard too. You need a bodyguard.
Sure. Great. Hey, we'll talk that over with Jim. I'm sure he'd be happy with that.
I'm a former U.S. Marine that ain't afraid to take somebody out if I have to.
Thank you so much again for your service. We always appreciate you. So that's wonderful. And I'd be more than happy to have you as bodyguard. That'd be wonderful. But yeah,
right.
We'll have to talk soon. And I'd love to get back on the show very soon. You know, I'll always, you know, whenever you want me to call in, just let me know.
All right.
I always
when
make time
out
for you. You know that.
Yeah, I know. I just like to, I got to bust on you. So every once in a while, I mean, isn't that what friends do?
I know. That's what friends are for, right?
Lift you up
that's
and give
great.
You a hard time. But I don't really give you too much of a hard time. But.
No, you're good. Hey, it's okay. Sometimes you need friends to kind of give you a hard time sometimes. And so, great.
All right, well, I better let you get running. And they can always text me text me anytime. You can always shoot the breeze off the record and things, and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe come out here
I got your number.
Come out here in the hills, and maybe it'll inspire you for a new song.
Yeah, absolutely. Me and Jim will have to come out. We'll have a barbecue.
There you go.
You could show us around.
Here on the mountaintop. Hold on. One real quick thing before you go. My wife and I went out for a smoke last night. Yeah, I do the evil cigarette smoking. And, we have outside cats. We have food for the outside cats. Well, food comes up along the side of the house while we're standing there, a little skunk.
Mm-hmm.
So the skunk just came up next to me and started eating what was left of the food. I'm like standing there, not moving. And then I got down and left.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. I feel like animals won't get anything. They really will.
I had my phone with me, I'd have got a picture and posted it. But, you know, I wasn't thinking at 3 in the morning.
Right, of course. Yeah, you'll have to next time when you think of it. If that happens again, you'll have to send me a picture.
All right. I think it will, because this one always comes around. And came around originally as a baby.
Oh, well, maybe he likes you guys. You know, he's like, he just wants, you know, he wants a friend or something.
Of course.
Don't get too close. You never know if they have, you know, rabies or anything like that. But, hey, I don't know.
Well, I don't think it has rabies because it rubbed up against my leg as I was standing. I was that close to the bowl it ate out of. So.
Oh, wow. Well, then maybe it just wants to be a friend. You know, it likes hanging out with you and your wife.
I'll try to remember to get a pickup. All right, well, thanks again for coming on, and of course I'll be in touch. I'm a member of Team Audra, so
yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on air. I really appreciate it. So it's always a fun time chatting with you. And tell your wife and everybody I said hello. And I can't wait to hopefully come visit sometime. So
sounds like a plan.
All right. Sounds good.
Have a safe trip on where you're heading. All right. Have a safe trip on where you're heading. And have fun, too.
All right. Thank you, my dear friend. I will talk to you very soon, Vince.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care.
There you have Audra McLaughlin, my pal. Became friends through a mutual friend, and she's a real good singer. It was a great seeing her on The Voice competing, and I wish she would have won, because then I could still say I know her, but, you know, we'll have to catch up a little bit. Yeah, I had to tell her the story about the skunk last night, so maybe I'll write a country lyric and send it to her and see if she could put a melody to it. But anyway, back to racing. And NASCAR was in Michigan. NHRA was in Virginia Motorsports Park, just outside of Richmond. And IndyCar was in action as well at the Texas Motor Speedway. They had an open up for the truck series down there. But Scotty Dixon wound up taking the win. Simone Pagenaud was second. Alexander Rossi coming third. James Hinchcliffe was fourth. Ryan Hunter-Reay was fifth. Sixth, Graham Rahal. Didn't do as good as his girlfriend. We'll get to her later. That's Courtney Force. Takuma Sato was seventh. Sebastian Bourdais was eighth. Ninth, Ed Jones. Charlie Kimball rounds out the top ten. There were three cautions for 29 laps. Ten lead changes. Well, at Texas, nine lead changes, excuse me. Race took 2 hours and 53.1 seconds to get them run the total of 248 laps. It's called the DXC Technology 600. I'm trying to... Well, we know it wasn't 600 miles because Texas and Charlotte are the same length, and 400 laps at Charlotte is 600 miles. So maybe it was 600K. But anyway, points. After that event, Scotty Dixon takes over the top spot. Alexander Rossi bumped to second. Will Power is third. Ryan Hunter-Reay fourth. Joe Newgarden fifth. Graham Rahal sixth. Rob Wickham seventh. Simone Pagenaud eighth. Sebastian Bourdais ninth. And Marco Andretti rounds out the top ten. Off to Richmond, the Virginia Motorsports Park in Top Fuel came down to Doug Kalita and Steve Torrence. Doug Kalita did what he took to get there, but Steve Torrence takes another win this event. Brittany Force trying to see where she is. She was a number two qualifier but got beat by Bill Litton in round one. Both had issues, but Litton was able to recover and go on to face Antron Brown. Antron Brown lost to Torrence in the semis. Torrence went up against Scott Palmer in round one, Terry McMillan in round two. McMillan having a good season as well. Antron Brown in round three. Doug Kalita, on the other hand, went up against Dan Mercier. And then Leah Pritchett took out Clay Milliken, who won the last time out. So she was looking to get back in on the podium, but Kalita was that much better by his 381. Took out her 403, so he wound up going against Torrence. But in the final round, even though Kalita got off the tree first with an 060, and Kalita was and Torrence was at an 078, but Torrance's 381 was 3/100ths quicker, so it wouldn't have been a whole shot victory even if he did get to the finish. Unless he got to the finish line first, so Torrence eliminated that. Terry McMillan had the low ET of the day with a 3.79 with a 6. The best reaction time and top speed were both owned by Torrence. Torrence with an 0.50 It's pretty good in one in the Nitro round, and also top speed at 325. On to the funny car class. Here's where it got interesting. It became a Force Family final. Daddy John and daughter Courtney. And Courtney, number one qualifier again. That pardon the pun, that team is on fire in a good way, not like poor dad in the early part of the season. She was able to dispatch Jeff Deal and then Jim Campbell and then J.R. Todd, who always seems to wind up against her to face Papa John there. John, of course, Tommy took out Tommy Johnson, well, qualified seventh, took out Tommy Johnson Jr., and then Cruz Pedregon, and then Tim Wilkerson. I'll tell you, John Force with an 047 in round two against Cruiser. It was a good run there. And then in the finals with 068 for Courtney, 067 for John. We're talking pretty much off the tree at the same time. The only difference is Courtney had a 403 with a 9, and John's car just didn't have it with a 407 with a 6. Courtney had the low ET of the day with a 397. Best reaction time, believe it or not, was Tasca with an 043. I thought John would have had it, but 3 100s made a difference. Top speed, Courtney Force, 325. In the pro stock round, the finals came down to Tanner Gray and our pal Erica Enders. First final in a while. I'll tell you, Erica qualified 10th but made it all the way. She didn't have no slouches to go through. She went up against teammate Alex Laughlin in round one, defending champ Bo Butner in round two, recent winner Chris McGahey. The whole shot there because she left at 026 and he went 017 off the tree, but she had the 6.63 to 6.64, almost dead even in speed. But the whole shot, she crossed the line first with that 6.63. Just think, who knew 12 hundredths of a second would make that much of a difference? Then on to the finals against Tanner Gray, who faced Kenny Delco in round one, Vincent Nobile in round two, and Drew Skillman in round three. That was a Skillman with a 015 and Gray's 047, but Skillman hard quit. When you coast across the line in 33 seconds, something broke. I did see that. They don't say what it is. They just see a cloud of smoke and then coasting. And then Tanner with a 663 with a 5. In the final, he was a 007 off the tree, which you have to be that good against Erica. She's usually on the tree quick. She was an 013, which is not bad, which is really good anyway, but the 07, that big .006 margin of a gap, and then he turned a 659 with a 5 to her 662 with an 8, relegated her to the runner-up spot. Low ET was a 659, and he did it at the right time. Best reaction time, 007. And then, again, in the final, that's when you want to see those. And then top speed, of course, at 209.43 miles an hour. That was Tanner. If we look at the standings right now, do that real quick. Sorry, Pro Stock Bikes. Torrance maintains the top spot over Clay Milliken, 108. And Kalita is third, has 162 back. And then Tony Schumacher, fourth. Leah Pritchett, fifth. Antron Brown, sixth. Terry McMillan, 7th, Brittany Force, 8th, Richie Crampton, 9th, and Scott Palmer, 10th. Doesn't look like much is going to shake at the bottom there. The only ones that I think can move would be 2, 3, 4, and 5. There's an 80-point gap between Leah Pritchett in 5th and Clay Milliken in 2nd. In the funny car division, Courtney Force with another win and boosted her lead. She went from an 8-point lead. Now she's 173 points ahead of Fast Jack Beckman. But closing in on him in third is Robert Height. He is 22 back of Beckman, so that's a one or two rounds. And then Matt Hagen in fourth, J.R. Todd fifth. Tommy Johnson Jr., oh wait, Ron Capps sixth, Tommy Johnson Jr. seventh. John Force climbs out from below the top 10. He is now eighth in the countdown lane. Sean Langdon ninth, and Cruz Pedregon is 10th. In the pro stock division, Greg Anderson is 17 points ahead of Vincent Nobile. Tanner Gray is third at 27 back with the final round. 34 back is Erica. Bo Butner fifth, 110 back. Chris McGahey, 115 back in sixth. Drew Skillman in seventh. Derek Kramer in eighth. Jake Coughlin in ninth. And Jason Line in tenth. That is strange territory for that guy. He's usually up near the top, but your top three, your top four with Erica at 34 back, that's one event, and they get a chance to do that in Bristol. So that could change. So we're pulling for Erica this weekend, and we'll see her there. Out in Texas, the Truck Series opening up for the IndyCar Series, a little combination of IndyCar, NASCAR. Johnny Sauter takes the win. Stuart Friesen in the second spot. Justin Haley third. Grant Enfinger fourth. Matt Crafton fifth. Todd Gilliland sixth. Seventh is Tyler Young. Eighth is Cody Coughlin. Ninth, Spencer Davis. Noah Gragson in tenth. Nine cautions for 44 laps. 12 lead changes amongst nine drivers. Of course, two of the cautions are stage enders. Your stage winners are Stuart Friesen, who took stage one, and Grant Enfinger, who took stage two. So with Johnny Sauter, he now has four wins on the season. Noah Gragson is second. Grant Enfinger is third in the points, and they're all with a win. The only one with a win bounced out is Spencer Gallagher, who is suspended. So after the third spot, it's all points alone with Grant Enfinger in fourth, Matt Crafton, Ben Rhodes in sixth, Stuart Friesen in seventh, Justin Haley in eighth, Dalton Sargeant in ninth, Matt Snyder in tenth. Eight make the playoffs, so it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Shame Spencer Gallagher had issues, so let's catch our race winner, Johnny Sauter, and see what he had to say.
If I could have your attention in the media center, we're going to go ahead and continue with our post-race media availability for the PPG 400. We're now joined by the race-winning team, owner Representative Ron Booth and crew chief Joe Shear Jr. Joe, can you talk a little bit about what this win means to you?
Oh, this win is really special to me. I lost my wife in December, late December, and she is from Dallas, Texas, born and raised. And she always came out here, family always come out here, and this has always been a big race for me and still is. And I'm so proud to win another one. It's hard to get it non-emotional, but it's very, very special. I'm lost for words, but she was definitely looking over us today. We had to do a little strategy to win this thing, but you know, God bless your soul.
And we're also now joined by race winner Johnny Stoddard, driver of the number 21 ISM Connect Chevrolet. Johnny, you came up with the win there, a win margin of 0.092 seconds. What was going through your head those last few laps?
Well, obviously the restart was the most important part of it. You know, when you're battling for fuel mileage like we were, kind of puts you between a rock and a hard place because you really can't scrub your tires up, clean them up good, because you're saving fuel. At least I'm not strong enough to turn the wheel back and forth without power steering like that over and over and over again. So, you know, it kind of puts you in a tight spot there. So when they said one to go, I started scrubbing them up as best I could, and then I knew it was important to get a good restart, and we were able to do that with our ISM Connect Chevy. Just timed them a little bit different each time. This the last one there, I took a little deeper into the box and then got a good launch. Justin Haley gave me a great little shove there to get me out and get me clear. But I actually ran out of fuel getting into turn three on the last lap. The motor completely shut off, and I said, oh, here we go. And got into the banking, and it re-cranked and carried speed all the way through four. And then as I was coming off of four, it started stumbling and stuttering, and I was like, okay, 52, I'm going to block you all the way to the finish line. I'm going to make you push me across. So just obviously game of inches there at the end, and just can't thank everybody at GMS, GMS Fabrication, Joe and all these guys. Pit crew was awesome tonight. We just we executed with strategy and you know, led a lot of laps and four wins in eight races. So the biggest thing we got to do now is just not get complacent and keep our nose to the grindstone. And got a long way to go, so we got to stay hungry.
There you have Johnny Sauter. In the Xfinity Series out in Michigan, I even think we had ARCA. Let me see. Did we have the ARCA Series there as well? It was usually... Yes, we do. See where our girl... Natalie Decker, the up-and-coming superstar in the series. Oh, she didn't have such a good day. She wound up 15th. Actually, Leilani Munter wound up nice. Ninth. That's a good run for her. Usually she's in the back marker. Sheldon Creed took the checkered flag, and Riley Herbst was second. Michael Self was third. Gus Dean fourth. Fifth, Joseph Graff. Sixth, Will Rogers. Seventh, Tolman. Eighth, Quinn Houff. Like I said again, Leilani Munter is ninth, and Cody Robrar was tenth. Your top points getters: Sheldon Creed, one. Two was Zane Smith, Riley Herbst, three, Travis Brayden, fourth. Chase Purdy, fifth, Gus Dean, sixth. Natalie Decker drops to seventh. She was up around the fifth and sixth spot. Brett Holmes, eighth. Joe Graff, junior, ninth. Coppolis rounds out your top ten. Back to Xfinity, where I was heading there. Austin Dillon takes the checkered flag. Daniel Hemric was second. Cole Custer was third. Ryan Reed, fourth. Paul Menard, fifth. Kyle Busch, who started from the pole, wound up sixth. Tyler Reddick was seventh. Kevin Harvick, jumping in the car, getting some extra seat time, was eighth. Justin Allgaier, ninth. Ryan Truex rounds out the top ten. That was, with the victory, it was Dillon's ninth in the Xfinity Series. There were 10 cautions for 37 laps, 8 for incidents, 2 for stages, 14 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. Elliott Sadler, points, but if you put him out due to wins, that's why I didn't see Spencer Gallagher. He was in that was the Truck Series. He's in 12th. He's technically still in the playoffs, but he's in the last spot there because of not being able to race. But if you look at the seating wise, it is Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Justin Allgaier, and then Spencer Gallagher would all move up to the top four. And then after that, it would be Elliott Sadler, Cole Custer, Daniel Hemric, Brandon Jones, Ryan Truex, Matt Tift, and Austin Cindric. So that would be your top 12. 12 make the field. Your stage winners was Elliott Sadler, took stage two, and Kyle Busch, your pole sitter, took stage one. Here is your race-winning team of Austin Dillon. See what he had to say.
We are now joined in the media center by our race-winning team for the LCI Printing 200. Crew Chief Nick Harrison, team owner Richard Childress, and Austin Dillon, driver of the number 3 Bass Pro Shops Cabela's Chevrolet. Guys, your team broke a 55-race winless streak today.
Woo!
That's right. Talk about the feeling of being back in victory lane, and if one of you guys could also touch on the rules package today.
Sure. Well, it's always amazing to get to victory lane, and the Xfinity Series for RCR, you know, we've been working real hard to get our cars back where they need to be, and big effort from all the crew chiefs, including Danny Lawrence. They've worked really hard to get us where we need to be, and this feels good. Me and Nick had gotten a run up a couple wins a couple years back together, and we felt like put us back together that we could go do it again, and that's only our, what, second race this year, third race?
Yeah,
one and a half. One and a half. He took a break. And
I got a little trouble with Daytona, but I'm back with
it. So, pretty good duo, obviously, it looks like. We've got a pretty good win percentage together. And it's nice to be back with him in that group. And love the Xfinity Series. And I thought the package, you know, it was different type of racing. Fans had to love how tight we were together. Definitely kind of hard to pass that lead guy. But we made a pass to the lead, a couple of them getting there, pushing and shoving. I went back to sixth a couple times and made it back through there. So, that's pretty cool to see that type of race. It's different. It'll be interesting to see what the fans think. And I thought it was pretty exciting and fun. It reminded me of like go-kart racing back in the day a long time ago. And it's what you had to do to move people, kind of push and win.
You want me to come? I thought the package.
There you have Austin Dillon. In the main event of the evening, it turned out to be a Stewart Haas event. Rain shortened to 133 laps because of the rain. I say rain shortened out of the 200 that should have been run. The way things turned out, it was Clint Bowyer taking the win, his second of the season. Of course, his first coming at Martinsville, another track whose starts with an M, Michigan and Martinsville. Kevin Harvick taking the second spot. Kurt Busch getting past brother Kyle. Kurt was on the pole for that one and wound up in third. Kyle, of course, fourth. Paul Menard in a Ford as well. So you got three Fords in the top three. You got Paul Menard in the Wood Brothers Ford. And then you have Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Ryan Blaney in the Penske Ford. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and Ford's in the top 10. So what's that tell you? Ford is a Michigan track. Michigan is Ford's track. Of course, it's a home track for Ford. I'm pretty sure all the other manufacturers as well. It's just in Brooklyn, right outside of Detroit. And rounding out the Chase Elliott was ninth, and rounding out the top 10 was Arik Almirola. Average speed, 132. Race ended under caution, took 2 hours and 15 seconds. There were 8 cautions for 30 laps. Kevin Harvick won stage 2. Ryan Blaney won stage 1. So they did get to the third stage, and Clint Bowyer was in the right place at the right time when the red came out, and they were able to get it underway. There were 9 lead changes among 7 drivers, so with the win. Clint Bowyer, like I said, it's his second this year. That puts him up there just above Martin Truex. According to the tiebreaker, they both have two wins. It's the points that come into play, and it's only a four-point difference between Bowyer and Truex, so they both have two. Kevin Harvick leads the points. Well, not the points, but the seeding with five wins. Kyle Busch second with four, even though overall points, it's Kyle Busch. And then you have the Bowyer and Truex, and after that you have Joey Logano. Further down the line is Daytona winner Austin Dillon. He bumps up, bumps Paul Menard, or Ricky Stenhouse out because Stenhouse is on the bubble. And being Stenhouse is already in the top 16, Dillon with the win would move Stenhouse to 17. So Stenhouse is going to have to pick up some points or pick up a win to ensure his place in the playoffs. We should have a little audio from our winners. Hopefully, yes, we do. Here is Clint Bowyer talking about his second win of the season at Michigan, going from the shortest track to one of the longest. Not a bad way to take a win. Now he just needs to get one on one of the mile and a half, and I think all everything covered.
If you haven't guessed already, we are now joined in the media center by our race-winning driver, Clint Bowyer.
Can you believe it? Say that again.
Race winning driver, Bowyer, driver of the number 14 Haas, 30 years of the Haas VF1 Ford. Sounds good. Second one of the year.
The last time we won, Martinsville, we was in Haas VF1 Ford, and it's such a cool paint scheme, such a cool thing. Very first one is what that stands for, and it's the man. It's the man that makes it happen at Stuart Haas Racing, obviously. Everybody knows what Tony brought to the table at this thing, and Gene is that rock. He is a rock behind all of us that enables us to go out and perform at our best. It's never a question of what does it take, you know, financially, anything else. It's what does it take to win? What does it take to be better? What does it take to find victory lane? Those are the questions that Gene Haas asks, and that's it. He doesn't talk about, that was a good top 10 finish. You know, you could be proud of a good run somewhere. Maybe that was, you know, a track you struggle at. Maybe you run fifth or sixth or something. No call. Winning and winning only is what he does in his industry. And it bleeds through to his employees and everybody at Stuart Haas Racing. Everybody, and now you see him embarking in his Formula One adventures. I mean, it's just amazing what he's done in motorsports in the last few years.
And your win today makes that 7 of the first 15 races of the season being won by Stuart Haas Racing. So
that's the army. That's the army that Tony and him assembled, orchestrated from Brett Froude and Greg Zibidelli. It's just so much fun to be in this equipment. Last year was a shocker to me. It was frustrating. You get this opportunity, you're thinking, boy, we got him. I'm back on the map. It just didn't happen. You know, Mike and I didn't have that communication down. Our cars weren't really good all the way through. You know, the four car was good, hit and miss here and there. But collectively, all four cars weren't that good. You know, Zipadelli and Brett made some personnel, you know, change people around and put those pieces of the puzzle together differently this year going into this season. And I mean, it's go, Cat, go. Literally, being with the manufacturer of Ford, you know, being with Roush Yates engines and that horsepower under the hood, it's just a deadly combination. And then you get to race against teammates like Kurt Busch, like Kevin Harvick, and to be back, you know, and the communication side of it, the competition meetings and things like that, the things you talk about now are all talking the same language. It's not, I'm loose this week. Well, I don't know. I was kind of tight this week. It's everybody's fighting the same things. And you know, we collectively across the board with all four cars are having those same conversations and getting better and better and better every single week with Stuart Haas. And it showed 1, 2, 3 was awesome.
And with,
and there you have Clint Bowyer talking about getting it done with Stuart Haas, him, of course, taking the top spot. Anyway, Hope you enjoyed the show today. Special thanks to Audra McLaughlin for joining me. And she's a great person that I know, and glad she's getting healthy again and back to singing, because that 7 months, I'm sure, was nerve-wracking as well as anything. Because you do get to the point where you go through something and wonder if you're ever wondering if you'll ever return to where you were. And she's coming back. She is back. She has a new video out called We Ain't Missing Nothing. It's a lyric video, so you can actually sing along with it. And I'm going to share that post. It's on YouTube, so good luck to her. She's out and about somewhere else talking now, so I hope she didn't tire herself out on my show. But, hey, it's been a while. Anyway, we'll see you all next week. No race to pick. Cup Series is off, believe it or not. I guess Father's Day, so we'll still have Truck Series and Xfinity Series coverage, and, of course, the NHRA in my backyard at Bristol. So we'll have a lot to talk on then. Maybe we can see if we can get somebody on next week from NHRA or somewhere. Depends on who I send the shout-out to. Anyway, don't forget to tune in at blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive every Tuesday at noon. Or if you can't make it live, podcast right after. So we'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.